them as they highlight the importance of this existential threat to the planet.
Freshman New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is calling for a Green New Deal, which would result in net zero greenhouse gas emissions within 10 years. Republicans say that proposal would be too expensive and too restrictive for businesses. This is Fox News.
Welcome to Conversations with Pastor Russ. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message. Here's Pastor Russ.
Hey, well, welcome everybody. So glad that you've joined us again for Conversations with Russ. Pastor Ruben is with me.
Hey, everybody.
Someone suggested we change it to R&R in the afternoon.
Again, I am not mad.
I like Conversations with Russ. Anyway, maybe that's just... Maybe that's just my ego talking. Hey, we're just so glad that you're here. We have a great time with these questions
for
and
sure.
Answers, and wrestling with some hot topics of the day, some personal questions as well. But anyway, so glad that you've joined us. You can listen at 1460 AM on your radio or liferadionj.com. You can listen live there. In addition, we are Facebook Live, Life Radio's Facebook page, and Fountain of Life's Facebook page.
Yep, just posted it on both.
Just shared it. Okay, good. So we're glad that you're with us. So hey, do us a favor, hit like and go ahead and share it. Share it. Is that the right?
You guess. You're okay. Good. You're good. Every once in a while, I have to keep him up to date. But
yeah.
He does a decent job.
Yeah. So share it with somebody or text somebody and tell them, hey, jump on, because we're going to be tackling some interesting topics here today, but really glad that you joined us. And so let's jump into it today. Are you ready?
I am ready. So okay. we're continuing this form that we've been doing the last 2 weeks, right? So it's just some almost quick fire different questions that we have for you. So some of these are questions that have come in. Some of these are questions that we had still from videos past, from Conversations with Rust past, that we have not yet gotten to. And so
before you get into those, to interrupt you, why don't you let people know that how they can send their questions in.
Absolutely. All right. So we have a couple different options. Did you give them the number already? Did we get the number down?
No, I didn't give them the phone number. Why don't you give them the phone number?
We got a couple different options here. You can call in at 609-614-3801. In addition to that, you can comment on this video right here, right now, for us to be able to see those different questions. And on top of that, if you would feel more comfortable than commenting on the actual video itself, you can also DM Life Radio, and then we'll make sure to omit your name and just be able to ask your question right there and right then.
Okay, sounds good.
Perfect.
All right, because we want to engage with you. We go back and forth, and we have some questions that have already come in
right.
that we're going to wrestle with today, but we want to hear from you. And we want to engage with you. So we're glad that you're here. Don't hesitate to send your question in. If we don't get to it today, we will tackle it next week.
We will make sure to grab hold of that. I've been checking out all the comments and everything, make sure we can collect some of those questions and then be able to use them for a following week. And I think some people are asking questions that are bigger than just this rapid fire thing. So when those ones come through, we'll have to maybe develop something a little bit longer form to jump into some of those topics as well.
Okay. You won't do like last week. Just hit me with the bombshells, right? I have no time to prepare for
it. Public apology is right now.
So years ago, I used to be on a television show called Ask the Pastor.
Right.
It was a live television show. You did not have time to look at your commentaries. And people would call in live on the show. There was a panel of us, five pastors, and there was a moderator.
Right.
And the calls would come in, and they would be live on the air. We'd be live on the air. So it was like, I mean, talk about anxiety going through the roof.
See, the difference with that is that if you didn't know the answer, you could have passed it off to anybody else in
that's
that pile.
Right. That's right.
This, it's Conversations with Russ. The buck stops here, my friends.
Yeah, wow. This is more anxious, more anxiety than TV.
There you go.
Anyway, so we're glad you're here. Go ahead. Let's jump in.
All right. We're going to softball you on this first one. We'll build up again, right?
Okay.
All right. What is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Somebody told me to hire you.
Oh. No. I was not expecting that.
And so I said, hey, that's great advice. Let me get him on the team.
Thank you. I'm all shades of red from my waist up now, I guess.
Well, so I took their advice and never looked back. By the way, Pastor Ruben was just ordained yesterday.
Yeah. 2 days ago, but yes.
2 days ago?
2 days ago.
Was it 2 days ago?
Time goes by. You were stuck in that room for 3 days,
that's
so
right,
I can understand.
Right. It was two days ago.
I can understand how time is an enigma to you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
The best advice I've ever received. Wow. You know what? If I could, just let me. That's hard to nail it down.
That means that you had really good people around
you. I've had a lot of great people pour some things into my life.
Yeah.
As far as a leader, as far as a person, someone said to me, "I pray that God keeps you humble in all of your successes."
Hmm. Okay.
And the Lord has blessed me in so many ways. It just He's grown the church under our leadership. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. I'm the under shepherd, but you know, when you see a ministry under your leadership begin to really grow and expand and flourish, mm-hmm. it's so easy to get prideful.
Yeah.
It just is. It just is. Everything in us wants to stick our chest out, you know, and say, mm-hmm. "Boy, look at who I am." And,
right.
And look who the leader I am. And you know what? Nobody is exempt from pride creeping in.
Right. If you think that you are exempt from pride, you are probably the most prideful person around.
Good point. You know, and I know in Billy Graham, in his biography, he wrote when his revival in New York City was going on, he was Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And I have this book on my shelf. And so in Billy Graham's biography, he said he was walking down the street of New York and he saw his name in the marquee.
Right.
You know, Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt pride just well up within him. He said he had to go back in my hotel room and just get before God and repent of that.
Yeah.
Whenever God does anything in us or through us, our natural tendency is to become prideful. But so a great piece of advice was a dear brother and mentor of mine, just always, whenever he sees me, he says, "Remember the advice I gave you?"
Right.
Even years later, it's probably a decade ago,
mm-hmm.
Or longer than that even. No, probably like, wow, maybe 14, 15 years ago.
Okay.
May God keep you humble in all your successes.
Right.
A second piece of advice I was given, if you want to be successful, the first thing you need to do is find out what you don't know.
That's good.
Because nobody knows it all.
Right.
Well, those people who think they know it all are annoying to those of us who do.
I saw the setup. I saw the setup coming.
No, but you know what? Because we think we're Superman. Right. Sometimes, especially kind of type A personality
right.
like me. And so the advice was, if you want to be successful, the first thing you need to do is find out what you don't know.
Yeah.
And then get people around you that know what you don't know or can do what you can't do or
right.
what you're not gifted in. So those were a couple
really good.
Really good pieces of advice.
Yeah. And I think if I can just add to that whole pride concept, I think that it's really easy for pride to sneak up in different ways too, because the obvious thing is, you know, that, oh, I can do better than this other person. But sometimes pride sneaks up more looking like jealousy than other things. That if we look at Saul, David, and Absalom, you know, Saul was jealous of David. And Absalom thought he can do a better job than
his father.
His father. And so, you know, at the foundation of it all, it was pride. You know, David even had the pride of thinking he can have it all by grabbing hold of Bathsheba, another man's wife. But I think, and I think that's an example of how it can sneak up all over the place. And it's really just constantly making sure that you remain humble in everything you do, especially in the more that you get to do, the more that God allows you to have.
And the more that God expands your territory.
Yes.
You have to just, we really have to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "These six things the Lord hates, and seven are an abomination to him." And the first one is a proud look.
Right.
I heard a preacher say one time that you can trace every sin back to pride.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair. But we have other questions to get to. But that's some great advice I received. May God keep you humble in all of your successes. And first thing you got to do is find out what you don't know.
Right. That's
and
good.
You know what? And that has served me so well, because you know what? You can get good advice and then toss it.
Right.
Or you can embrace it. And I got to tell you, we have a tremendous team here at Fountain of Life. And God has brought just great people around me. Ruben's one of them. And there's other staff members that can do things that I can't do and are good at things that I'm not good at. And so it's one thing to get the good advice, but it's another thing to employ it.
Exactly. So that's good. That's good. All right. We got two questions coming up here, and both of them are kind of related to similar things here. We're in February. We are exactly 1 week away from Valentine's Day, and that can be a marvelous thing, or it can be a very terrible thing, depending on where you are in your life and what you're expecting your life to look like.
Yeah.
And so this next question is, what's a piece of advice that you would give to someone who is single and looking forward to a relationship?
What advice would I give someone who is single and looking forward to a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
This is some advice I got a while back too.
Okay.
So I'm going to hit you with it, okay? Here you go. Run as fast as you can towards Jesus. And if somebody can keep up, introduce yourself.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, how many people have gone off the rails who love Jesus and following Jesus because someone came along in their life who had no thought for being a Christ follower.
Right.
And they ran after him or her and train wrecked.
Right.
So that's the advice I would give. Stay true to your relationship with Jesus and don't compromise just because you're lonely or you want a relationship. I think we always have to want Jesus more than a relationship.
Right. And I think that's really good because I think we have to understand that God had never made you to be half of a person looking for the other half to complete you. Jerry Maguire did no good for us with that whatsoever. There is nobody else out there that's going to complete you. You have your own identity in Christ, and in Christ, you are fulfilled. No person is going to do that for you.
There's a great scripture. Wow, I believe it's in Colossians, but I don't remember chapter and verse.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and you are complete in him.
Yeah.
That's a great scripture. Brother Tech Director, look that up. Google that, will you? For us. We got to get him on the camera one of these days. And you are complete in him. Mm-hmm. So people say, well, when I get married, I'll be complete. No, then you're finished.
Yikes.
Don't you love my jokes?
Yikes. Ooh, it's getting hot in here, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we are complete in Christ. Don't let anyone derail you from your relationship with Jesus.
Right. And let me add this kind of on a personal note. I was excited to get married since I was 12 years old, which is, yeah, I know. I see the face that you're giving me. Sounds super strange, right? I think it was one of those things that...
Since you were 12?
Since I was 12. It was so strange. But I just remember always wanting to pursue somebody because I thought, okay, this... If that wasn't the one, then this is going to be the one, and constantly trying to find that. And it wasn't until I really placed my whole identity in who God was creating me to be that I started recognizing that, wait a second, all of who I am is firmly planted in Jesus.
Yeah.
And I would allow anything to come to me or to not come to me if that's the will of the Father.
See, and that's when you were ready for a relationship.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Think about it.
I agree.
Everything in you was rooted in Jesus, and you were not going to be moved from that. And it was after that decision that your life partner came along.
Yeah, exactly. It actually wasn't too far after that that I met my wife, Meredith.
Wow. So then I guess then the opposite is true. If your life is not rooted in Jesus, it's easy to get swayed by somebody who whispers in your ear.
Right. And on top of that, if you are meant to a life of singleness, there is nothing wrong with that. I think.
Bam, drop the mic.
I think sometimes we in the church are really
preach,
bad,
brother.
And we say that, you know, well, like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? How come this person isn't around? How come you don't have the boyfriend? How come you don't have the girlfriend? And sometimes God calls people to the life of singleness. One of the most influential people in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ himself was Paul, who chose to be single his entire life. Yeah. And I think it's really important for us to recognize that that's also okay. And we as the church have to stop shaming single people for being single.
Single shaming.
Exactly.
You know what? That is so true because I'm I follow a lot of single people on Twitter, and a lot of times single people, like in their 20s, they hate going to family gatherings.
Right.
It's like, have you met Mr. Right yet?
Right.
And, you know, what's your future? And when we say stupid things like that, it really comes down to single shaming.
Yeah.
I love what you said. And we have to remember that. Be rooted and grounded in Christ. Oh, Brother Tech Director gave us the scripture, Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
That's good.
Whether it's career choice, relationship choice, the first thing is to get grounded, rooted, and complete in Christ.
That's right. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Similar idea, but pivoting just a little bit here. What would you say to someone getting married?
Wow.
Newlywed couple or about to be.
Okay. What would I say to somebody getting married? Oh, Brother Tech Director's getting married. Yeah, he just...
Maybe he was the one that asked the question.
Well, he gave her a ring.
Right.
Right, Brother Tech Director? Yeah, he gave her a ring.
Yeah.
Just date set yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
He's moving and grooving.
Oh, because before, like...
I didn't know ring, either, but...
No date.
Things like, happen real fast.
People that give rings and no dates, I'm like, let me keep you, but...
Well, hold on. You got the rock, though, so at the
end... Yeah.
All right, we digress.
What would I say to someone getting married? I believe that we have to, the marriage has to be rooted and grounded in Christ as well.
Yeah. Common theme, I guess, today, huh?
Yeah. Here's what Jesus said. He said, because I'm going to tell you how to, if you're thinking about getting married, you know, a lot of people get this anxiety because of the divorce statistics out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, how do I know it's going to last? And are we going to make it? Are we going to be a casualty, another statistic of divorce?
Right.
And so let me prophesy a guaranteed success in your marriage. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Because you're married. Mm-hmm. I can prophesy guaranteed success.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No flipping coins or rolling dice.
Right.
Gee, are we going to make it or not?
Right.
Is Ruben and Meredith going to make it? Is Russ and Luann going to make it? Will Brother Tech Director and his bride-to-be going to make it? Here's what Jesus said. He said, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock.
Yeah.
Jesus, the rock.
Yeah.
Foundation. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell not. It did not fall because it was founded upon a rock.
Right.
He that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand.
Yeah.
Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, same storm. That house fell. And great was the fall of it.
Right.
Don't want to be cliche or make some broad stroke of the brush here, but many relationships, many marriages fail because individually or together is not built on Christ.
Right.
I just believe with everything in me, and you can write this down, brother, because you're about to get married. When you as a man build your life on the foundation of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and your spouse builds her life on the foundation of Jesus. And together, we build our life on Christ.
Right.
Storm's coming. You better believe it.
Right.
It'll hit you like a hurricane.
That's life.
It'll hit you like a hurricane sometime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when the storm passes, whether it's financial or someone dies, or I'll tell you a common cause of divorce is when couples have a physically challenged child.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my son and his wife had twins. They were born early, and the girl had cerebral palsy, never walked, never talked, couldn't eat, had to be fed by a tube.
It's so tough.
We can't even imagine. My point is this, is that the storms of life are going to hit you. I don't care. You've been following Jesus forever.
Right.
Or just started. The storms of life are going to hit us, but Jesus promised. This is not my promise.
Right.
This is Jesus' promise.
Right.
You build your life on the foundation of Christ. You and your spouse, and individually, because
mm-hmm.
it has to be individually, and then together build our life on Christ, it'll last.
Yeah.
It'll outlast every storm of life.
That's good.
If you don't, you're just like, hey, we're just going to live on love. That'll be over soon.
Right.
you can't build it on just love. You have to build it on Christ. Because there's times in a marriage we don't feel warm and fuzzy.
Right.
Are you together? Are you with me,
that
bro?
That makes perfect sense.
And nobody feels like July 4th fireworks going off every day.
Right.
All right? And we're not always out to candlelight romantic dinners. Mm-hmm. Life will hit you like a ton of bricks. But I guarantee you, can prophesy to you and promise you that your marriage will last, but you got to build it on the foundation of Jesus.
Yeah.
And his word.
Right.
It'll last.
That's really good. That's way better than my marriage advice.
Yeah, what was yours?
Buy the cheaper flowers and save up for the king size bed is what my mine would have been. No, but for real, I
buy the cheaper flowers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For real though,
did
I think my
what a knucklehead.
I think that in all reality, that is so good, because I think when we recognize, if we make Jesus the foundation of everything, it's going to change our perspective on things, because now it's not about you being right and me being wrong. It's about, how do we glorify God in this struggle? How do we glorify God in this hardship? And I think that it becomes easier when I can start recognizing that Jesus is calling me to have this mutual submission with my wife, submission in different ways, but submission all the same. And I want to make sure that I'm loving my wife the way that Jesus loves the church.
You know, you're going right up the right road, because I'm thinking, I hope I don't sound too spiritual when I say, build your life on Jesus. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
And now you're starting to go up that road, because building your life on Jesus, that's the right answer. But you might be thinking, well, what does Russ mean by that?
Right.
Well, you talked about submitting to one another.
Right.
That's a scriptural principle. Yeah. Submit yourselves to one another. It means loving one another mm-hmm. more than you love yourself. That's how Jesus loved the church.
Right.
Jesus was all about forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
So that means there's nothing in our marriage we won't forgive. So when we talk about build your life on Christ, what does that mean?
Right.
It means submit to one another, love one another, forgive one another. And I love the scripture that says, prefer one another.
Yeah. That's good.
Preferring love, honor, and prefer one another. That means get rid of your me first mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer you before me.
Yeah.
That's building your life on Christ and his word. The building blocks are found in the word of God. And we need to know those. We need to know those, you know, because it can't be built on beauty, because if my wife was in love with my hair when I was 19, it's Yikes. Gone, baby.
Yikes.
You know, or, you know, you get in love with somebody's figure, you know,
right.
It will go south
yeah.
in the years to come.
Yeah.
It's got to be so much more than that. Mm-hmm. It's got to be so much more than that. So building on Christ, but submitting, preferring, loving, honoring, preferring one another. That's what it means.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So,
and just to follow up, my wife says buy the expensive flowers as well. So
did she Facebook you?
She did. I saw it. I acknowledge you.
Buy the expensive flowers and the king-size bed.
And the king-size bed.
Okay.
All right. This is going to be a tough one here. Okay. And I think that it's going to probably take us to the end of our time here.
All right.
So things don't go great all the time. No. Sometimes people make decisions that render very serious consequences.
Yeah.
And some of those consequences in our day and age seem like they can be a very quick fix, and maybe they shouldn't be. And so my question here is, what would you say to someone who has had or is contemplating having an abortion?
Wow. Let's go with the person who's contemplating having an abortion.
Sure.
It could be different things could have. I mean, there's different ways people get pregnant, but let's stay with someone's in a relationship. They slept with someone and now they're pregnant, and you're wondering, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can have this baby. I don't know if I have the finances, and you're contemplating an abortion. All right. Let's forget my opinions, because my opinions don't matter. Let's look at what God says.
Yeah.
First of all, what would I say to someone? The child that's growing inside of your womb is a life.
Yeah.
It's a life. And my answer has nothing to do with Democratic or Republican politics. Just forget all that.
Right.
But let's talk about what the Bible says. There's an interesting verse. God told Jeremiah, he said, before you were in the womb, I knew you. Hmm. Before you were in the womb, yeah. I knew you. And so that tells me that when he was in the womb, God knew him.
Yeah.
No one is ever, there is no, anyone who was born, there's an interesting verse in John, and it says that we're not born by the will of man.
Right.
But we're born by the will of God. Mm-hmm. So when a life is born, it's born by the will of God. So the life you have growing on the inside of you is a life. And you might think it was a mistake.
Right.
But there is no child that is a mistake.
Right.
Now, maybe the way it happened, it wasn't planned. And the act might have been a mistake.
Sure.
But the child is not a mistake.
That's really good.
The child is not a mistake. Your act of sex, either in or out of marriage, out of marriage. In marriage, it's not a mistake. But outside of marriage may have been a mistake.
Sure.
But if there's a, when the sperm meets the egg and it attaches to the uterus and that begins to grow, God now has ordained that life to be born.
Yeah.
And God knows that child and God already has a plan and a purpose for that child. And if there's anybody listening or anybody watching that's contemplating an abortion, let me beg you, please don't.
Right.
Please don't. And there are alternatives. Maybe you can't raise the child.
Yeah.
Maybe it's financially, it's not feasible. Then there are other options.
Right.
And adoption is an option.
Right.
But when I say don't have the abortion, it's not because, well, that's my politics. No, it's a life. And it's a God-ordained life.
Yeah.
And God has a plan for that life. So don't abort God's plan.
Yeah.
That's what I would say to somebody who's contemplating having an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Don't end a life that God has started.
Right.
I mean, you might think you did, but I've said this before. It's getting a little heavy. I've said this before. I've said it publicly too. People get weirded out. if there was a baby born every time people had sex, there wouldn't be 7 billion people in the world. There would be like...
Okay.
That number would be an infinity.
Right.
Okay? Now, I'm going somewhere, and it sounds a little comical or humorous, but not. If there was a child born or conceived every time somebody had sex...
Right.
Talk about a population boom. So then, that tells me that if conception takes place... God's got a plan.
Wow. That's really good. That's really good.
If conception takes place, because sex happens a whole lot more.
Right.
But when conception takes place, God ordained that to be.
Right.
Maybe the act was a mistake, but the baby isn't.
Right.
God's got a plan for that child.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really good.
My chair's squeaking. It's annoying me.
I really don't have anything to add to that. I thought that was really excellent. The only thing I can possibly say is I know that you are in an impossibly difficult situation, and I cannot fathom what that's actually like. But I agree with you 100% that God has a purpose there. God has a purpose for that.
Absolutely.
And
no doubt.
And scripture says that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And I think that it's one of those things that you may not know why or how it's all going to play out. But God is sovereign enough. That means he's in control enough to know what he's doing. And please look for alternatives.
And that maybe speaking with a Christian adoption agency.
Yeah.
So
it's complicated.
It is complicated.
Yeah.
But there are alternatives outside of abortion.
Right.
Now, the second part of the question was, and the brother tech director says we have a minute left, is what would I say to someone who has had an abortion?
Right.
There is grace and forgiveness in Jesus.
Amen.
Could I just tell you, there is no unpardonable sin.
Right.
You know, there is no nothing that we're going to do that God can't forgive.
Right.
So just like we talked about, so don't have the abortion, but you may be watching and thought, but I did. But you know what? The mercy of Jesus comes without measure.
Come on.
Without measure. And if we just ask for grace or mercy, he gives it in abundance.
Right.
And God is a God of new beginnings. Whatever we've done in the past, whatever sin, even if we aborted a child,
right,
it is not unforgivable. Jesus forgives that. And not only does he forgive it, he heals the brokenhearted.
Come on.
And every place that's broken on the inside of you, everything that's hurting on the inside of you, everything that feels guilt and shame on the inside of you,
right,
can I just tell you that Jesus comes in like a wave off the ocean, and he'll just flood your heart with his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, and you don't have to live with guilt and shame and condemnation another day in your life.
Right.
When we receive the grace and forgiveness of Jesus, he washes every stain on the heart whiter than snow.
That's good.
Totally clean, totally forgiven,
that's
totally
good.
New beginning, and we can lift our head up.
Right.
And we don't have to be held hostage by our past.
Right.
We can move into our future confident of his forgiveness, and he still has a destiny for your life.
That's good. That's super good. If brother tech director, I've never called anyone brother ever in my entire life. If you wouldn't mind just giving us 1 minute, I'm going to give you a real easy one to bring us home here. We just started a new message series.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Wow. Hey, we just started last week. It's called Daring Faith.
Right.
Turn to your neighbor and Daring Faith. It's just a tremendous series that's going to challenge all of us.
Yeah.
Challenge all of our faith. We put our faith in Jesus, but let me tell you what. God's got things for you, for me, for you,
right,
even Brother Tech Director. Things beyond our wildest dreams, things beyond what we could ever expect. But God always responds to faith. And when we talk about daring faith, we're talking about risk-taking.
Yeah.
Faith, taking bold steps.
Right.
It's like stepping out, like if you're standing up here and stepping out, and I don't see where my foot's going to land, but God will make sure there's a landing place.
Right, exactly.
So daring faith, that if we will operate in daring faith, we will see God do things beyond our wildest imagination.
That's right.
I can't wait to see you on Sunday. So Fountain of Life, go ahead and give them our service times.
So we are meeting at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We do have children and nursery programs available for your kids, so we would love for you to come out to one of our services this Sunday.
And if you can't, the service is live streamed here on Life Radio.
Hey.
The 11 o'clock service, not
right,
the 9.
Right.
But the 11 o'clock service is live streamed, either 1460 AM or go to liferadionj.com, hit the play button, and the service is live.
Right. And I also want to add really quick, all of our messages that we're going to be talking about with Daring Faith, we're actually going through in our life groups as well.
That's right.
And so
join a life group.
There are so many different life groups Monday through Friday that we want you to be a part of. If we're going to talk about Daring Faith, it's worth deepening our faith. And so if we get to do that in a circle with a bunch of other people, I think it's absolutely incredible. So go to flcnj.org to be able to see our whole list of facilitators and join a life group. You can do it right there on that page.
Because after the sermon on Sunday, we flesh it out even more
exactly.
in our life groups.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, so glad that you joined us today. We went 3 minutes over our time, but the general manager said we could do that.
All right.
Joe Crouchman said we could do that if we
thanks, Joe.
If we had to. So thanks for the grace and the mercy, Joe. Hey, we're really glad that you tuned in today, and hope that you'll join us again next Thursday, 4 o'clock, right here with Conversations with Russ.
See you, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed Conversations with Pastor Russ, senior pastor at the Fountain of Life in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. Thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.